type 2 diabetes reversible? Is sugar harmful? Does sugar have different names? Is obesity a disease? What is fasting? How safe is the keto diet? This series of The Medicine Box talks to health and nutrition experts to break down answers to these very questions and more so that you can aim to be your healthiest best. Hello and welcome to The Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com with me, your host, Ekta Batra. This podcast aims to give you an insight on all things pharma and health, from discussing trends in the industry to key issues in health with all the relevant experts. And this series of The Medicine Box is focused on health, nutrition and wellness. Our guest on today's podcast is Dr. Nikhil Dhurinder. He is a physician by training turned obesity researcher. Dr. Dhurinder is currently a professor and chairman of Department of Nutritional Sciences at Texas Tech University in the US. His accolades include heading multiple societies and research for obesity and also getting Amir Khan to lose 28 kgs in just the span of a couple of months for the movie Dangal. Dr. Dhurinder joins in to discuss key takeaways from his book, Fat Loss Diet, and more. Hi, Dr. Dhurinder. Welcome to the podcast. Well, let's start a little bit in terms of a background of yourself. What is it that you exactly do, and what is your key focus?
I have been, for the last 35 years, I have been in the field of obesity or weight management in various ways. I started out in Mumbai as an obesity consultant, as a doctor trying to help people lose weight. I helped about 15,000 cases of obesity so far. And over the years, I have been obesity researcher in the United States, a professor. So I also research other aspects of obesity, including two viruses that we have discovered cause obesity. So viral infection can lead to obesity. And we have been researching that for the last 25 some years. So all in all, my focus has been on obesity, diabetes, weight loss, and aspects of obesity that contribute to better treatment eventually.
So Dr. Dhurinder, you've had a wealth of experience, 35 years, three decades plus. What has changed in these 35 years if you have to talk about obesity as well as diabetes?
There are two aspects that I would say are changing for the better. One is there is more awareness about obesity, whether it's in India or in the United States, that people are learning more about obesity in two ways. One is that obesity is a disease. It's not their fault. It's not out of laziness or greediness. So that stigma is becoming less. People are becoming more aware that losing weight, if it is excess, is required. Otherwise, it can lead to various health complications. So that's from the people's point of view. The other part is in obesity science itself. There are more and more advances coming out. There is a use of obesity surgery, for instance, and if chosen correctly in people who have very high obesity, it works very well. That's one advance. Another is in the area of using drugs, various drugs for the disease obesity. So newer and safer drugs are coming out. The latest generation of drugs have a much better safety profile. And then there are other aspects of obesity, as in better understanding of obesity is happening as well, but not fast enough.
Dr. Dhurinder, you know, while there could be a virus which could affect obesity and it could be qualified more as a disease as opposed to just a lifestyle, that point is taken. But India has a really rapidly rising rate of obesity as well as diabetes. Is there a lifestyle aspect to that incidence increasing as well?
So this is a question that is often asked in obesity conferences. Obesity researchers are tackling this issue. There is not single opinion. There are various opinions about it. But by and large, it is very hard to pin obesity, the disease, only on lifestyle. There are cases where things have not changed. There are cases where so-called fast food places are not present, and yet obesity is increasing. Actually, obesity is increasing all over the world. Mm-hmm. In fact, the World Health Organization, WHO, has declared that we as in collectively, are in the middle of a global obesity epidemic. Mm-hmm. And clear causes are not identified yet. I also want to add that what you said about viruses and obesity, that's just one of the causes of obesity. Mm. In fact, I like to say the word obesities, you know, just like cancer. Mm. If I ask you what are the causes of cancer, you cannot answer that question without asking me which cancer. If it is lung cancer, maybe it's smoking. If it is skin cancer, maybe it is UV light exposure. Or uterine cancer, maybe there is a virus, and so on and so forth. Same way, there are multiple types of obesity, and many, many contributors have been identified for obesity. Hmm. In fact, there are 90-some contributors that have been identified so far that may be related to obesity. Okay. So obesity is simply looks like one condition that somebody has gained weight, but contributors or causes could be different. Another example I'll give you is sleep, for instance. Bad sleep hygiene, meaning too little sleep or poor quality of sleep, is linked with obesity. Now, if you have a person, if I have a patient and I'm treating that patient without asking that person's sleep habits, and if indeed that sleep was contributing to his or her obesity, it will remain untreated and it won't be of any use if I am trying to do anything else. Hmm. So understanding obesity means actually understanding the contributors to obesity and not go on just one thought that, oh, it's all due to whatever is your favorite term. It's due to sugar. It is due to fast food. It is due to laziness. What have you. People have their favorite theories, but it doesn't seem to capture all obesity rise that we see globally.
There are so many myths, Dr. Thurinder, in terms of food now. You mentioned sugar. Cut out sugar completely from your diet or cut out carbohydrates completely from your diet. Would you advocate any of those?
So my approach and the approach of many of my colleagues, which is a scientific approach, is that to lose weight, you have to take in fewer calories than what you need. So if your requirement for the day to maintain your body and exercise and every activity together, let's just say, is 2,000 calories, you have to eat fewer than 2,000 calories to lose weight. And eating that fewer than 2,000 calories one day is not enough. Yet one meal doesn't make anybody give obesity, and one meal doesn't make anybody thin. It has to be done chronically over a long time. So if you're eating fewer calories every day for some time, that is a way to lose weight. Now, it's not only about eating less. The diet should be in such a way that it's only the calories that you are getting less or fewer calories. But we all need every day carbohydrates, protein, fat, various vitamins, various minerals. So your diet should be complete in everything, all these nutrients, except the calories. Only the calories need to be less. So that is a standard way that I practice for obesity. Yeah, there have been diet over the years. There have been low-carb diet or high-protein diet or low-fat and various combinations of those. These diets have emerged that have been studied. And you know what the conclusion by the end of it is of many studies that have been done long-term, like a year or 2-year long study. That is pretty good long study, length of the study. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it really doesn't matter which diet you're following, whether it is low carb or low fat or high protein. Excuse me. In the end, people tend to lose the same amount, similar amounts of weight. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, what is really important is compliance. You know, the diet that your neighbor followed or your friend followed may be great for your neighbor or your friend. Is it good for you? Mm-hmm. Can you sustain that diet? Now, for example, if you ask me to eat lot of protein, lot of meat, I'm a non-vegetarian, yet if you ask me to eat a ton of meat every day for the next 6 months, I won't be able to do it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how good the diet is, if I cannot comply, I'm not going to get results.
Sure.
So my suggestion is pick a diet that is good, scientific, balanced, and something that you can stick to.
But what I mean to say is that, Dr. Dhurinder, there are so many, you know, theories out there that sugar is bad for you, dairy is bad for you, carbohydrates are bad for you. Do you subscribe to any of those, or should it just be a balanced diet with a focus on calories as opposed to the kind of food that you're eating?
Correct. So as I described, the focus is on two. One is calories, which is very important. And now we are only talking about obesity and weight loss here. We are not talking about health of somebody who doesn't need to lose weight but wants to avoid heart issues or wants to avoid kidney problems, mm-hmm. or liver issues. There is nutrition that can be employed for different diseases. I am only talking about weight loss,
yes.
in case of obesity. And in that case, cutting down calories is very important. So that would be my first focus. And second focus would be on making sure that the person gets all the required nutrients. Then I do not mind if a person is eating some extra sugar. I'm not an advocate of sugar. I'm not asking people that go ahead and please eat a lot of sugar. That's not what my point is. But I'll give you an example. Just the other day, I was talking to a patient who said that he has a big sweet tooth and he just can't live without it. Now, this person is trying to lose weight, just can't live without eating something sweet and cakes and pastries and desserts and so on. So I offered him, I said, I'll cut a deal with you. How about you eat an ice cream every day? This is a real story.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how about you get to eat an ice cream every day? But the deal is that you won't eat anything else, no cakes, no pastries, no other desserts. He was very, very happy.
Hmm.
Now, it's not that ice cream is great for his health, but what I'm buying is his cooperation. Because making somebody's life miserable while trying to lose weight can only go so far. You won't get the cooperation, you won't get the compliance, people will not lose weight. And my aim is to make sure to work within your lifestyle. If your lifestyle is that you are a vegetarian person and I ask you to eat non-vegetarian because it has fewer calories, it won't work because you won't eat it. So it has to fit within the lifestyle and likes and dislikes. And then I don't mind if somebody has to eat sugar a bit, but in a controlled manner, so that I can get that person to lose weight.
So Dr. Dhurinder, describe a diet for us which would be maybe through the day, which would be ideal for somebody who wants to be healthy as well as probably enjoy life.
So this is a very hard question to give as a general answer, but I will try. So, and the reason for that is that when people come to me for a diet, I cannot give a diet that is just a blanket diet. I'm not required for that. Then they can open any textbook and look up the diet. But when I'm prescribing a diet for a person, I really have to consider that person's current health, physical as well as mental, past health, family history, blood tests, etc., and then likes and dislikes and the lifestyle. What time you wake up, what breakfast you have, do you carry your lunch to work or you eat at work? how many times you go out to eat, and so on and so forth. All that helps me decide a person's diet based on all those aspects. Nonetheless, if I can, I can give a few general guidelines, and one of them is that what I call protein shield, and this is especially for those who want to control their food intake, and I call it protein shield, and that is that we know, based on scientific studies, we know that protein has the ability to make you feel full. So protein could be fish, chicken, mutton, pulses, dal, that is beans, soybeans. So all these are eggs, all these are great source of protein. Typically what happens is people eat many of these things, but they eat at night. Mm-hmm. As a dinner, as a big meal. So you may be eating meat or fish or big amount of dal at night. And then that does make you feel full, but you're sleeping at that time. So it fails to cover you, fails to protect you when you need that protection, which is throughout the day. So what I would recommend is, I recommend to people, and it works very well, is eat something substantial. If you want the number, it is 30 grams of protein, 25 to 30 grams of protein. That is about 100 grams of fish or chicken, or typically protein powders, one scoop of protein powder. It depends on which protein powder we're talking about, and I'm not mentioning a specific one,
sure,
but you can look up on the label. A scoop of protein powder can give you about 25 grams of protein. And a glass of water. If you take that between your breakfast and lunch, it goes a long way in protecting you in terms of from hunger throughout the day. So that is what I call protein shield, that you are protected with protein, but at the right time. So instead of eating at late at night and more of it, you eat towards in the mid-morning.
Sure.
And depending on the person, sometimes some people need it twice. So between lunch and dinner, if there is a long gap, one could eat another protein source.
Sure.
That would keep them not crave, you know, you become crazy hungry by the time you come home, and then everything that is in anything that's in front of you is very hard to control. So that can be changed by these.
Do you think that Indians need to probably improve their diet, because India is generally more of a protein deficient country on one hand, and on the other hand, we have obesity, which is rising in terms of a percentage rate, as well as diabetes?
Yes. India is a country where undernutrition and overnutrition coexist. Both are happening at the same time. When undernutrition is happening as a result of poverty, solutions are different. It's not a matter of just go eat, because there are other issues linked with lower income situation.
Sure.
And those need to be fixed. But the other part is, in India, diabetes and obesity is on the rise, and is at an astounding pace. So for diabetes, one thing that has been observed in studies, that when you compare Caucasians and Indians for the same body weight, if you compare two individuals with same body weight and same body height, so everything is the same, Indians seem to have way more risk, higher risk of heart disease or diabetes, mm-hmm, even if their body weight and height is the same. And one of the reasons for that seems to be that Indian individuals have less muscle mass and more body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take example of two individuals, one is Caucasian, one is Indian, both have same height, let's say 5'6".
Sure.
And both are 80 kilos. So the Indian person with 80 kilos will have way less muscle mass and way more body fat, and that too in places where it is really not desirable. That body fat in an Indian individual may be stored more inside a muscle, inside the liver, inside the heart, and so on. So that is a theory that makes Indian individual more prone to these conditions such as the heart disease or diabetes.
So what does the Indian diet need to modify then? Or what does India need to do in order to reduce their risk?
So one of the things is monitoring your body weight and body fat. And hence the name of my book is A Fat Loss Diet. I would like people to focus more on body fat than body weight, which is why I just explained to you how it changes. It's not enough to say, at times people have told me that for last 30 years, my weight has remained the same. That's great that it did not increase, but I would like to know for last 30 years, what has happened to your body fat? Mm-hmm. Has that been increasing and muscle mass decreasing over the years? So number one is to focus on body fat and not just the body weight. And nowadays there are many instruments available in the market that can monitor your body fat very well. For our research, we use equipment that requires $35,000 to $75,000 worth, and equipment can cost that monitors your body fat. You don't need that for day-to-day use. There are equipments, machines available that one can buy on the internet for 3,000 rupees or less. And that can pretty much for the purpose tell you body fat. That's about the monitoring body fat. And other would be maintaining your body fat within a good level and making sure that you include good sources of protein in sufficient frequency in the diet, which at times is lacking in Indian diet.
Okay. What is the best form of exercise then, Dr. Dhurinder? You've mentioned that it should just be possibly just walking, strolling on a beach.
Yes, it depends on whom you're asking now. Exercise for whom? I hope you're not asking for a Olympic athlete. That would be a different exercise. But if you're talking about people who are struggling with their weight and trying to lose weight, improve their health, the first step they would take is slow and level walking. It is about not how fast you walk or how fast you run, but how far you go, because the calories consumed are based on the distance, not based on your speed. So if you walk 5 kilometers, or you jog those 5 kilometers, or you run those 5 kilometers, the number of calories used are identical, almost identical. Mm-hmm. So what the goal should be is to increase the distance and not speed. And when you are carrying a lot of weight, many of your joints that are weight-bearing joints, like the back, the hip joint, knee joint, ankle joint, are under pressure because of extra weight. If you tell such a person to start running, jogging, or skipping rope, or do some strenuous activity, it is really not good for their health. So you do need activity, you do need physical activity. So the best would be walk at a slow pace, try to increase that walk, don't overdo it. And as your weight comes down, then you want to start undertake some other activity that's okay.
Okay, but what about a healthy individual, Dr. Dhurinder, who doesn't have an obesity problem?
For that person, the choice would be, there are three types of exercises. Some types of exercises will increase your stamina, such as running or swimming. Some types of exercise will increase your muscle mass, like lifting weight. Some types of exercises would be more geared towards using up calories, such as walking or running. So that is that person's choice. What do you really want to do? Do you want to increase your stamina? You want to increase muscle mass? You want to burn calories? It depends on that. It's a personal choice for a person to keep healthy. Now, swimming is an all-round good exercise. One small issue with swimming is is not a weight-bearing exercise, meaning walking is a weight-bearing exercise. So that kind of keeps our bones strong. A non-weight-bearing exercise would not get that benefit. So swimming is not bad, but you may lose the benefit that you get by having the walking, such as weight-bearing exercise, such as walking.
Okay. All right, Dr. Dhurinder, we're going to wrap up this conversation. But before we do that, you have to tell us about the miraculous transformation that we had of Aamir Khan in Dangal. If you could just take us through what exactly that experience was, what did you recommend to him?
Sure, I can. Please note that I have treated many individuals who are celebrities or actors or what have you. I just don't disclose my relationship with my patients because of doctor-patient relationship. It was Mr. Aamir Khan who declared it, and that's how you heard about it.
Yes.
It would not have come from me otherwise.
Yes.
but nonetheless, and he has allowed me to share anything and everything about his treatment. So it was a wonderful experience. It was an extremely challenging situation. And the challenging because of two reasons. Normally, people just want to lose weight, lose fat. But he wanted to lose fat and gain muscle at the same time. So losing fat requires that you eat less. Gaining muscle requires you eat more. So we wanted to match these two. And I found that was very challenging. So I took that as a personal challenge to make it happen, because it takes a lot of creativity, scientifically, medically speaking. And he struggled at times, but he showed tremendous, tremendous discipline and tremendous willpower over a long period that was required to do various aspects. Now you eat less, now you work out more. At times he was working out 8 hours a day.
Nice.
And so that's not for everybody. It is meant for special situations and special people, I would say. So it was a wonderful experience for me as well to make this happen working with him.
Okay. All right, Dr. Dhurinder, on that note, we're going to wrap up the conversation, but it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining in on The Medicine Box, and we hope to have you on the podcast soon enough again. Thank you very much.